right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, May 16th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is an overcast 56 degrees and soon to be raining here in upstate New York, though by the end of the week, they are predicting somewhere close to 90, maybe for 2 days, Thursday, Friday. So it should be pretty interesting. Come on, summer. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Bacillus Living Diagnostics, Gut Snatchers, and 21st Century Cures. And that pretty much sums it up. We've been discussing probiotics and Bacillus probiotics, specifically the spore-forming bacteria that are very different than the bacteria that we've always known and loved as probiotics. This physically is two stages of life in this bacillus. There is the vegetative state where it can reproduce, and it produces a spore like a fungus. And then once it reproduces this spore, it can plant itself and grow some more. And one of the issues that we discovered in our research is that not only is the family of bacillus bacteria inclusive of anthrax, something that the DOD has spent many years within the lab for biowarfare purposes. You know, this goes back to the days of Plum Island. Because remember, anthrax is a soil spore-based bacillus bacteria. And that's why you would see animals infected with it at times. Then they discovered that they could put it into a powder form and use it potentially for biowarfare. Dr. Huber, in his previous life, before he became a professor Metrius at Purdue University, spent many years being the foremost expert on the former Russian biowarfare program after World War II. And he focused on animal and crop forms of biowarfare. So if anyone would know about bacillus, it would be Dr. Huber. Maybe I should reach out to him and see if we could get him to answer some questions and maybe fill in some of the blanks, because the most disturbing part of all of this is, and it gets even worse when you start looking into bacillus, of course, it's very resilient and is not killed very easily by heat, chemicals, radiation. We discovered not only in the DOD case of shipping out, and I was incorrect, I said 375, it was 575 shipments of anthrax a few years ago that they thought was killed because they bathed them in x-rays, but guess what? They weren't, because they're spores. Spores can live many, many years. They found bacillus spores in the WIP facility embedded in the salts down in New Mexico's Carlsbad Caverns that were 250 million years old. This is the type now of quote-unquote newfangled probiotic, supposed to be way better for you, that they are rolling out to the general public. And not only that, see, it wouldn't even have garnered my attention had I not seen a marketing ploy, they mentioned this, on a box of tea that really caught my attention and made me start to question how we could possibly have probiotics in tea. Now, with probiotics, always beware when you see something all of a sudden out of the blue that now has probiotics, and it typically was something that maybe wasn't a big health benefit in the past, though tea, I like my tea. But I try to stay away from store-bought tea just because you don't know. Tea, remember, comes from places such as China and India, highly, highly contaminated environments, as well as Japan. And the World Trade Organizations have been trying to force the purchase of Japanese product now that, you know, Fukushima's 6 years out of our short-term memory. But they're trying to push Japanese food products onto the market in Europe. We covered this a while back. They've given approval to start putting them on the shelves. And I thought, I was reading too in restaurants, so be very careful. There were quite a number of years back. I had found a story about tea being shipped to Canada and then relabeled and shipped over the U.S. border as Canadian tea of some kind, but it actually came from Japan. It's just caution. You know, the one thing of anything that is coming out of all the stuff that we've been looking at is that our food system is totally messed up. There's nobody that is protecting you. And as a matter of fact, some of this digging that we've been doing on this bacillus, quote-unquote, probiotic, newfangled spore bacteria that's going to make you healthy and it's going to keep you calm and it's going to tamp down on inflammation or whatever else they're talking about, these power probiotics, that there may be some sort of connection back to places like the Weiss and the Broad Institutes, MIT and DARPA, done in the name of keeping you safe. Remember, DARPA's been working on a lot of things such as shape-shifting immune systems. You know, just in the case of a bioterror attack, your body will be able to react to a pathogen, known or unknown, and change itself on the fly. There's a story out of the New York Times, and I hate when I talk about stuff because I'm going to have to go find all this. None of this is queued up, but there's a story out of the New York Times from a year or so ago that it talked about this being literally a genetic therapy for humans to allow them to stay safe in the case of not only a biological attack, but because, hey, the flu, every year the flu mutates. You know, these things mutate, and global warming. Global warming makes them mutate faster. And they can't make flu vaccines fast enough. No, they can if they do them in some sort of transgenic plant. They were messing around with tobacco and the Blue Angel program way back when. Because growing cultures in eggs, chicken eggs, that's what they've been using, takes too long. And because it takes too long, they sometimes aren't on target when the vaccine comes out 6 or 9 months later. And so we can, you know, genetically modify these plants to get them to express, I don't remember what the word is, antigens maybe, that then we can use in our flu vaccine. I mean, guys, they are way in deep reprogramming bacteria and viruses and genetically modifying things or CRISPRing. I did a quick search yesterday on Google, CRISPR bacillus. Do it. Take a look. I haven't had time to dig way in, but just the titles made me raise an eyebrow because it has been going on. And remember, I told you the one other thing about this new, quote unquote, new probiotic. And like I said, bacillus has been around for millions of years, but new as in being put into our guts. Now, of course, you'll read studies that say, well, we all have some bacillus in our guts because we get it on plants, we get it in infected animals, and we ingest it, so it gets in there. But what they neglect to mention is that it is not natively necessarily part of the human gut. I just watched a video earlier, and I don't know where that is. I could, like, if I had to guess, I would say there's probably 50 tabs open here. So good luck finding it. But at least I got the show lined up so I know. Click 1, 2, 3. I watched a video about 10, 15 minutes before the show for some article that I saw in my feed this morning that it actually talked about some of these microbiota research studies that DARPA is targeting, all in the name of not only curing potential disease in the human body, but also monitoring. And remember, we talked about that yesterday. There was a story that said that there was bacteria that could monitor and report back as well as be therapeutic, hence that being in our title. And that has got to be frightening to you, because if we can have things in our gut that literally are alive and monitoring and able to report back. And of course, we talked about in your poop, because that's exactly how they're going to report back. But in this video, it said that potentially the bacteria, when it encounters something in your gut that it's been programmed, or how they nicely say it, engineered, to respond to, it will change color. And the way that your doctor will be able to tell that there is some sort of thing going on in your gut, in this case, in this example, they used inflammation of some kind, and then that would lead to them thinking that maybe there would be something unhealthy going on. It would literally change the color of your poop. Oh my God, it's blue. What does that mean? I mean, I just couldn't even believe it. I mean, good idea. If you tasked me with the task of trying to figure out how I could get little miniature reporting sensors into somebody to let them know there was something going on inside, changing color of the poop would probably be, you know, just like Apple made all their millions and came back into the forefront of technology once they came up with those pretty colored computers. And it's all about the colors, people. Remember, we got to make a dashboard that can be useful for humans that only now have a 7-second attention span, and color is always one of the ways to do it. So on top of all this, of course, we find out that the head of the Precision Medicine Initiative, they give us his sob story at the beginning. And I mean, it was sad, yes. And he was an original guinea pig for personalized medicine and gave up his DNA swab. But he is now planning to roll out this Precision Medicine Initiative to all of America because it helped him so much. And like I've always said, you know, this stuff is miraculous. This is like Star Trek type medicine. Though Bones never talked about colored poop, but he had little devices that they could woo-woo-woo-woo-woo, radio waves or whatever. We're going to talk about some of that because that is probably 2-3 tabs in the future here. But we are getting to the point now where they are able to manipulate and control life from every bit of the spectrum. And I'm not just talking spectrum as in radio spectrum. We're going to talk about more of that too. I found a very disturbing document, and I'm really hoping I can get there today. If we fly through some of the stuff, we can, but if not tomorrow. But also on a life level and a microbial level, and then get to a nano robotic level. Now that brings me to some of the stuff that DARPA's been working on. So we're going to roll out this Precision Medicine Initiative to everyone, which means the Dr. Smartphone, and maybe even IBM Watson, is going to be working with our doctors and the healthcare complex to be bagging and tagging us, putting us in a dashboard, and making sure that our bodies, as well as our minds, as well as our actions and our lives, are all operating within parameters. And at the very end of the show yesterday, we had kind of even looked at some of that with big data and artificial intelligence is going to start by helping us fight cancer. Yes, that's Dr. Watson working with 20 plus. It's got to be more than 20 now. I mean, it's rolling out everywhere. I'm seeing Watson's name everywhere in regards to healthcare. They're really pushing this. So don't be surprised when Watson becomes the medical professional, and I am sure IBM sales rep, someone looking for a job and they're good at technology, that might be a place to go. Go see what IBM's doing. And as far as hiring, I have not looked, but I bet you if you went into their healthcare vertical, there'd be some big money to be had. But as we're getting to this point now, we are finding that a lot of this technology that's being engineered is actually synthetic. We talked about those living therapeutics the day before that MIT is working on, and we found out that they even got some funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Surprise! That wasn't too much of a surprise. I mean, I was shocked to actually see it there, but it was not too much of a surprise. We find out that DARPA partnered with the Weiss Institute, good old Georgie Porgy Church's clan, to start producing bacteria. They can do all kinds of interesting things. So we read a story yesterday about the reporting back from your gut. I found another one. I just wanted to share a little bit of this because it's a little bit different take. This story instead of being from the Weiss Institute itself, is from a technical publication that I used to read religiously when I was a tech support agent. That's what you call us. Phone support, tech support. Many years ago, CNET was a very good publication. If you wanted to keep up on like what the newest weirdo technologies were, this was from, and this is what concerns me, is that we're reading stuff from 2014 was yesterday. Now this one's from 2015. When we add into that, not only this merging, these slippery tentacles that have gone between DARPA, Google, now Facebook with Regina Duggan, and the bringing in of Ray Kurzweil, hey, and Tommy Insel from the National Institute of Mental Health, and I'm sure there are many others. There were tons of brain experts that Google's been working on. Then add to that all of our search history, our phone conversations, our chats, and everything else that they could bag, tag, and track us with. And now, let's get everyone into that medical database and connect that to the full dossier. Remember, I told you every single one of us has always had a dossier. And now it gets even more invasive. Down to your poop. DARPA wants to engineer fake bacteria to patrol the human gut by building synthetic bacteria that can be taken in pill form. DARPA-funded researchers seek to keep our digestive systems in fighting form. Any tourist who's ever gotten a case of traveler's tummy knows venturing to foreign countries can sometimes be a little tough on the digestive system. But tourists aren't the only ones who visit foreign lands. Members of the military do as well. Oh, yes, good justification there, DARPA. That is why the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, has given the Weiss Institute $4.7 million to develop a squadron of genetically engineered bacteria. Yes, or in one of the other stories, they called them swarms. And guess what? Bacillus is able to form swarms that will be able to identify, report on, and attack harmful bugs in our gastrointestinal tracts. Researchers at the Institute, which is an alliance, and this is the Weiss Institute, which is an alliance between various Harvard schools plus other universities and medical centers, including MIT, will be using the funds to create synthetic bacteria that will be able to detect inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract. The bacteria will be taken in pill form, and once the engineered bacteria detects inflammation, it will be designed, oh, this is the story, to change color and very politically correctly saying, pass, quote unquote, out of the body, i.e. your poop. At that point, doctors could easily identify issues based on the color of a patient's stool. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, it's blue. What does that mean? In addition, the bacteria will be designed to attack harmful invaders in the system by emitting a specific toxin, ding-a-ling, to kill the bad bugs. You know, for those of you who don't know what the bad bugs' names are, while not harming the rest of the colon. Now, one of the bad bugs is that C. difficile, which is that bacteria. It's an opportunistic bacteria that takes over sometimes after people take antibiotics. The antibiotics wipe out the good microbiota, and this opportunistic C. difficile overproduces and causes very horrible gastrointestinal problems that are very hard to control. I've known some people who actually have been victims to that, and it's not pleasant at all. It's very debilitating, as a matter of fact. One of the things I wanted to mention about this bacteria, synthetic bacteria that would be designed to emit specific toxins, quote unquote, to kill bad bugs in your gut. One of the things that I found in my research is another bacillus bacteria happens to be, and I don't have it in front of me, Beether and Genesis, I believe it's called. More affectionately known as BT, that produces BT toxin. Now, that is the very same BT that is put into genetically modified Monsanto BT corn, and it produces the BT toxin that then causes the bug stomachs to explode. So listen, we found already probably 2+ years ago, when we were covering the very beginnings of this genetic modification insanity, as it was becoming slightly mainstream, but not really, but at least showing up in the scientific publications, they were calling it back at that time RNAi, if you remember. They were able to flip little switches on and off and interfere, that's what they call it, interfere with the expression of certain chemicals or traits or whatever. You know, it's a long strand. You can do lots of things by flipping switches on and off. And just like a computer, zeros and ones, guys, that's all it takes. We found there's even a programming language for cells now. And they are little computers. In one of the stories I've covered a million times, at least referenced it 100 times, it's about the legions of nanobots to cure cancer. And I brought that story up yesterday and was very shocked to discover that after all this time that we've covered that story, two dots really connected to me. It says the legion of nanorobotic agents are actually composed of more than 100 million flagellated bacteria. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Where do we just see flagellated bacteria? Oh, in bacillus. And therefore, they are self-propelled and loaded with drugs, which we found out now they can, they're little bioreactors they make by flipping switches and genetically engineering them, CRISPRing them. Let's be correct about the term. If they genetically engineered them, they would be considered a GMO. But if they flip CRISPR switches, they're not. But they would be loaded with drugs or produce drugs that moved by taking the most direct path between the drug's injection point and the area of the body to cure. So they're talking about putting these flagellated bacteria into potentially injections as well as a pill form or in our food. Guys, this is very frightening. All these dots are beginning to come together now. And we should be very concerned, especially when we consider the connection between the gut and the brain via the vagus nerve and a lot of the research that DARPA's been doing about manipulating brain chemicals. We talked about the oxytocin. We've talked about dopamine. I'm sure there's many others. They have been working on trying to find ways to control biological sensations and actions for a very long time, for, of course, on the battlefield. So let's go back to this synthetically, the synthetic bacteria that's been engineered by the Weiss Institute with dollars from DARPA to protect soldiers when they go overseas from getting traveler's tummy. So they say, once this engineered bacteria detects inflammation, it'll be designed to change color. We found that out and pass out of the body. But the researchers are worried about the effects genetically engineered bacteria could have on the environment. Good question. Once they pass out of the human digestive tract. So they're going to be designing these to only be activated by the chemistry that is found in our gut. Now, we found out something yesterday. And I don't know if this is part of the same project, but we found out yesterday they were using some of those genetic switches in the lab for testing, just like they did with the OxyTech genetically modified mosquitoes. And that was to only be active in the presence of tetracycline. But there are lots of concerns in the scientific community now because it's been discovered that tetracycline is a lot more prevalent in the environment than they ever imagined because of its use in livestock and because of people taking it and contributing to the sewer system. So anyway, to test their synthetic bacteria, some of which could be created using E. coli, and that's another one that's very prevalent, and that is a bacteria that is normally in our digestive tract. The researchers at the Weiss Institute are using another one of DARPA's creations, and that is the body on a chip technology. In this case, they are using a gut on a chip. This technology effectively creates a mini organ outside of the body by sustaining living cells from a particular organ, in this case the gut, on a silicone chip. In addition to having developed the gut on a chip technology to be used for this project, so it was DARPA funded, the Weiss Institute also developed lungs and liver chips, so they must have been the one that was part of that body on a chip project. The technology then lets researchers see how drugs and other technologies will react in the human body without actually ever needing a human body again. How awesome. Let's hope they got all those permutations figured out. And I'm sure that they are probably feeding that right back into the big pulsating brain, akin to something such as Watson. In addition to finding specific defenses against gastrointestinal infection and inflammation, the researchers also hope to gain greater understanding of the human gut microbiome. This multi-institutional effort, they say, to reprogram, ding, 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 it is gastrointestinal reprogramming, they call it. Reprogramming the human gut microbiome not only has implications for treating gastrointestinal illnesses, but also opens doors to new ways of treating countless other diseases that are impacted by the microbiome. And I would add to that, including mental disease. They did some research on that Lactobacillus reuteri. There was another one that started with an L. L. rusus or something like that. DARPA's been doing research on those. That reuteri, we found out they are already testing on veterans up in Colorado Springs or Denver to be able to treat PTSD and stress responses. So don't think for a minute this isn't going to be applied to some of the Google mental health initiatives. They already said that they were working on quote-unquote nanobots. That was Kurzweil. You better believe it. So from there, in one of my searches, I came across an excerpt of a book on Google. Must be from Amazon. Nope, it's from Springer. So Google has indexed it from one of these research groups that publishes books and papers. This book is titled Neurorobotics, From Machine Interfaces to Rehabilitation Robotics. And way up top, it talked about a lot of that. It looks like they've now blocked my access to that, you know, because they only give you a little snippet of the book to read. But I did read it the other day, and it had gone way back into cybernetics and how DARPA has been involved in this since even the 70s, maybe even before. And, of course, the internet and information networks and then how that's so familiar because it's like a brain and how that all works. And, you know, they kind of work their way through to now where they're at biology, this biological technology office with the merging of the two, being able to program cells as if they were, because they are, a little computer, and manipulate life, you know, with the database of the genome projects, and like I've said before, not just human, plant, animal, insect, and also planet's microbiome. Remember, our planet is a living organism. We tend to forget that. We are but cancerous cells on it, I would say. But they have understood all these connections, all in the name of war, the war machine. They always find a reason to justify the expenditure. But it all comes back to keeping you safe. And if you eat the propaganda, remember they're working on this oxytocin project that ties together marketing and the message, they called it. It was something message. I had that skewed up here somewhere. This really got me. But I mean, they literally are finding out ways to chemically influence you, as well as sell you a story, the narrative, that's what they called it. And they want you to believe that this is all being done for your own good and your health and safety. But what they're not describing to you is the actual back end and what they're going to be able to do once you have all this inside of you and we have Internet of Things, Internet of Everything all around us, including ourselves and inside of ourselves. The actual godlike, omnipotent, omniscient capabilities that this is going to give the people in charge. It's frightening. It is. I always say it's frightening, but like it's beyond nightmarish. This is worse than any scenario that my little tickety-tick brain, who always thinks worst-case scenario, ever could have come up with. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And it has infiltrated just to the smallest level of existence. I just saw something today that they've been able to image. Maybe it was yesterday. They've been able to image now hydrogen and hydrogen bonds, which is the smallest particle of the atomic structure in the universe. The first time ever. And I don't even know what the potential applications or long-term implications could be, except that, again, this has given them another step forward into being literally like gods, unlocking all these secrets, the chinks in every bit of armor, the stuff that used to be magic, is now being understood by a very select few. The smarty pants. Not all, you know, here's the thing. The smarty pants don't realize that what their discoveries are being used for may not be what they had intended. And that comes out all throughout history when we see these people were compartmentalized and used as a part of this big machine to develop always tools for war and dominance and control. Guys, that's what makes this frightening. This may be able to cure everything. We may live in a Star Trek world of medicine someday. But in the Star Trek world of medicine, I don't think that there was ever any type of real outward description of them pushing buttons and being able to make somebody's mood change. Zippity zap them with a little device that's inside of their ear. You know, to change their mental state. We really are borderlining on something akin to a dystopian novel of insanity. So anyway, I ran across this book or publication called Neurorobotics from the Brain-Machine Interface to Rehabilitation Robotics out of Springer. And they had talked about the developments from the very beginning of DARPA and kind of how it relates today. My search terms for this that brought me to this page were vagus nerve, DARPA, and microbiome, because I really wanted to see how far they had gotten in being able to use that same gut pathway to manipulate chemical composition or expression in the brain. And I found a disturbing entry in this publication. They were talking about potential targets within the body and being able to manipulate soldiers' bodies at a cellular level to give them more energy or improve their brain or physical performance. And one was with manipulating ATP, which is the energy production module inside of the cell, using some sort of special ketone. And it goes beyond that It says another potential target for long-term enhancement. And this honestly is in relation to, yes, that super soldier program that they like to tell you never existed, really does. This is for human enhancement. So they can have the best soldiers and maybe in the future, best engineered embryonic soldiers that aren't real people. Let's say, wink, they're synthetic humans. They're the ones who are disposable once we all die out, and they will be developed in the likeness, in the image of their creator. That's what's frightening about this. They literally are looking and manipulating and creating life to the very smallest portions, including the microbiome. Another potential target of long-term enhancement resides in the microbiome. This is DARPA research. The enteric nervous system, which is a collection of neurons in the gut, often called the quote-unquote second brain in the popular press, contains some 100 million neurons, more than either a spinal cord or your entire peripheral nervous system. Now, where do we run across peripheral nervous system? Oh, that was with the other DARPA project in relation, in coalition with Berkeley for the neural dust motes for the peripheral nervous system. Yes, neural dust, your Fitbit for your nervous system. Approximately 90% of the nerve fibers in the primary visceral nerve, otherwise known as the vagus nerve. So in that vagus nerve, there's 100 million neurons, and it is what they call the enteric nervous system. And it connects your gut directly to your brain. They call it the second brain. This is nuts. I mean, we talked about the vagus nerve, but I didn't know this much detail about it. Approximately 90% of the nerve fibers from the vagus nerve carry information from the gut to the brain, not the other way around. Recent evidence supports the view that triggers the signals from the gut to affect our emotions. Ding-a-ling, did we not see? A few weeks back, DARPA's been doing tons of research into monitoring and controlling emotions, utilizing not only gut bacteria, but also little zippity zaps to the vagus nerve and portable EEGs. Remember that $30 EEG they got an RFP out for? Guys, this is all absolutely 100% connected. It can't, there's no way it can't be. It's all DARPA funding. I see right through what they're doing. People don't realize the extent of what is actually coming. This is beyond insanity. Recent evidence supports the view that triggers and signals from the gut affect our emotions and our decision-making and our responses to stress, also our immune responses and our learning and memory. Now, they were already playing with zippity-zapping that nerve to see if they could upload learning skills. They've been messing with the microbiome with that Lactobacillus reuteri for PTSD. Decision-making, we know that they have been looking at that orbital frontal cortex, and they've been able, and I don't know who funded that one, but there was some research on that. They were able to see real-time decision-making by monitoring that type of the brain. And of course, the immune response, we got shape-shifting immune system coming from DARPA. And our emotions, and that would be with some of those EEGs, all happening right now and all apparently related. The enteric microbiome of the non-human organisms that live in the human gut is thought to impact your cognitive performance and your emotional resilience. A recent study showed that mice receiving Lactobacillus rhamnosus, that's the other one I was trying to remember earlier. I mentioned it. I said it was rhesus, but it's rhamnosus. Mice who received Lactobacillus rhamnosus were less anxious, performed better on tests for learning and memory, as well as had lower cortisol levels after stressful situations. And remember, cortisol is a substance that's produced in your body that if you're stressed all the time, if you drink a lot of caffeine, you're always stressed out. That cortisol causes all kinds of bad reactions to happen in your body if you can't turn it off, eventually leading to adrenal fatigue. So you got to be really careful about that, because adrenal fatigue then causes your body to start falling apart. And you definitely don't want that to happen. But again, remember, this is DARPA research. Double-edged sword. Always a double-edged sword. Supplemented mice with Lactobacillus rhamnosus also had atypical mitochondrial RNA levels for two GABA receptors, which GABA is a substance in the brain, that are involved in decision-making and learning/memory. By severing the vagus nerve, it attenuated the effect, implying, so those poor little mousies, he severed their vagus nerve. The attenuated effect implied that commensal bacteria in the gut can have a direct effect on the neurotransmitter receptors in the central nervous system in normal, healthy animals. And nor is this effect limited to animal studies. Oral ingestion of probiotics, which often include L-rhamnosus, have also been effective in reducing psychological distress in otherwise normal, healthy humans, while antibiotic use may disturb the microbiome flora for a poorly understood length of time. So, guys, it is there. We know DARPA's working on it. They are also working on all of these other technologies to be able to manipulate and control. We found out that they are already working now, back-ending. Part of the Internet of Things is connecting all this biological data to an artificial intelligence and letting those big pulsating synthetic brains collate, bag, and tag and see patterns. That's what they do. That's what they're good at. That's what constitutes intelligence. If you look at the definition of an IQ test, to do well on an IQ test, you need to be able to see patterns. Well, AI is getting very good at that. So, in the middle of all of this, we have the Internet of Things rolling out, with us becoming a part, with all these little nanobacterial body thingies, programmed synthetic life being launched all around us and inside of us. We will become part of this Internet of Things. Well, the Director of National Intelligence is warning of security threats to that very Internet of Things. This story is from Engadget very recently, 5 days ago, May 11th, 2017. Hackers aren't the only ones bypassing the weak security of the Internet of Things. According to the Director of National Intelligence, Daniel Coates, smart devices could also be used to shut down U.S. intelligence operations in the future. And I want to mention as well, when I was searching yesterday, I found some references to them calling some of these programmed probiotics and microbiota smart, quote unquote, smart bacteria. We're all these bacteria and these diagnostic tools, as they're calling them, are all going to be connected to this Internet of Everything network that is so apparently unsecure. At an open hearing today, so this was last week, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, or SSCI for short, heard testimony on the worldwide threat assessment of the U.S. intelligence community. Coates' opening statement included a warning of the dangers of poor smart device security, as well as the continued inevitability of the Russian cyber threats. Yes, still blaming it on the Russians. Though we did find that Russia is pretty far along in using some of these new quote-unquote non-lethal weaponry, which not only included electronic and radio frequency threats, but potential biotechnology threats as well. Remember, Russia was pretty far advanced in their bioweapons program from World War II. Again, I'm going to say I need to get in touch with Dr. Huber. If anyone knows him, please let me know. Or if they have some 7 degree of separation, then maybe we could use someone to say, hey, please, we want to talk to you. We kind of get how this is all working, but we need someone to help us understand the implications. Or someone with some clout that really does understand all the ins and outs of this to say, yeah, you guys are on the right track. Because I am just seeing the writing on the wall here, guys. What happens when some of these technologies that we've been talking about, not just in this last week, I mean, for years now, are developed from the Russians and the Chinese and some quote-unquote rogue agents out there, start getting released? Maybe first in little pockets to test it out, but then rolled out across the board. Whoops! Dropped from an aeroplane or from a satellite or a rocket or something. Or something very innocuous like a drone over a large populated area that then can cause a typhoid-ish type Mary that then spreads it. We found out way back when that even obesity may be able to be spread to other individuals not in contact with your bodily fluids because of that gut bacteria. And just by passing gas, you're passing a little toxic gas cloud potentially that others could come into contact with. It'd be a biohazard in places where you might be in close quarters, such as a subway during rush hour or in a mall at Christmas time or an airport. You know, just saying, it's frightening to the level, if you really think about it, maybe I'm overthinking this, but maybe I'm not. The future potential for what we're discussing right now is just beyond anything I think my brain has ever grasped to this level before. It's just so wide and so big and so absolutely unbelievable. That, and we just are letting it continue. And the back end of all this, I'm going to tell you, we got DARPA, we got the medical establishment, we got the universities and the medical research institutions behind it. But don't forget, we also have large corporations such as the Googles, the Facebooks, and the places like Boston Dynamics, the people that build the war machine that are also helping to foster and create this technology. But of course they say Russian actors, because it's all about the Russians, but remember, this is the new 21st century ways of war, have conducted attacks on critical infrastructure, even going so far as to pretend to be third parties hiding behind false online personas. Yeah, or it could have been our bio, our hacker groups that we're just trying to pin it on the Russians. They also spoke at length about smart devices, which have increased the number of vectors that hostile actors can attack. A denial of service attack, we already see, will become more prevalent. And these botnets use weakly protected Internet of Things devices to overwhelm websites and other networks. In the future, state and non-state actors will likely use Internet of Things devices to support intelligence operations, ding-a-ling-a-ling, or domestic security, or to access or attack targeted computer networks. Vice Chairman of the Senate Committee, Mark Warner, noted that FBI Director, now no longer FBI Director, Comey, was not in attendance. And according to Eric Geller, It is impossible to ignore that one of the leaders of the intelligence community is not here with us today. Democrats, of course, find it hard to avoid the conclusion that Comey was fired relating to the investigation into Russia. But guys, it should be very frightening to us that there is no one, apparently at the moment, in charge that understands that not only do we have this Internet of Things, but remember, it's the Internet of Everything that is coming. Nanorobotics are included in the Internet of Things. I just found a story the other day talking about the Internet of Things. This is from May 5th, 2017, out of Tech Explorer that tends to snag information. They look like they're a subsidiary of IEEE. Internet of Things sensors, and remember, this is going to be external and internal. That neural dust is also an Internet of Things sensor. Could connect via ambient radio waves. Now, we've talked a lot about our environment being bathed in electromagnetic radiation, much of which we cannot see, hear, or feel. Though our biological systems are affected by it, there are lots of studies out there about the long-term effects of different frequencies. And we also found the microwave frequencies that DARPA had been tinkering with in the war amphitheater back even during the days of the Gulf War allowed them to do things like beam voices, called the voice of God, into people's heads. Okay, they've been messing with this stuff for a long time. We tied all of that very beginning of learning about the radio frequency spectrum back to the days of Bell Labs. We even found that after World War I, for a while, the federal government, as the United States Postal Service, which made a lot of sense because they ran the telegraph system, took control of Bell Labs to help develop encryption technology that would protect classified communications during the wartime. So a lot of this technology has been long owned, or at least long infiltrated by the war machine into frequency technology. And this will be a good place to start off tomorrow. But listen to this. The Internet of Things systems usually links networks of sensors via radio, but radios demand battery power, which thus limits its usability. But Disney Research, who even knew that Disney had a research center, has determined that one solution may be to get rid of the radios altogether and communicate via ambient radio waves in our environment that are from the television, actual radio towers, and our cell phones. Researchers of the Disney Research Wireless System Group, which again, who knew Disney had one of those, devised an ultra low power system of sensors that transmit data to a central receiver by reflecting the ambient radio waves in our environment from the commercial broadcasting systems that are already bathing most of us on a daily basis. Our idea, he says, is to reuse the radio signals that are all around us as a medium for transmitting Internet of Things data, much like just sending ripples across a pond. This approach radically reduces the power requirements of these tiny little sensor nodes, because it is the generation of radio waves that consumes the most of the battery power. In a demonstration in a Disney research lab, the researchers were able to meet the tiny bit of power demand that remained using solar cells optimized for low light conditions. And remember, we found out when we looked at that neural dust mote that they were actually using piezoelectric sensors that also could take ultrasound waves out of our environment and use that to power them without any type of other external power source. The researchers presented their details of their ultra-wide band, which is in that UWB band of ambient backscatter system, at the IEEE conference on computer communication, which was the Infocom 2017 in Atlanta, Georgia. The research team demonstrated that the system of an indoor office environment using ambient signals from 14 radio towers as well as two mobile phones. The promise of the Internet of Things is that wireless sensors will be ubiquitous. How many times have we said that? Bag tag everything and everywhere, allowing devices to sense their environments and to talk to each other, to send back reports on you every day, every minute of your day. It is the panopticon. As we move toward connecting the next billion wireless devices to the internet, we need to find a way to extend battery power. And backscatter communication already is used in passive RFID. RFID transmits radio frequency power to the battery-free RFID tag and sends the data to the reader by reflecting or backscattering the carrier wave. Because this hardware doesn't have to be tuned into any particular frequency, the ultra-wideband system can be deployed in almost any metropolitan area. And unlike other experimental systems that use ambient radio waves, this Disney system does not focus on a single signal source, but it uses all available ambient radio sources, from the FM radio broadcast to your digital TV signals to the wireless 802.11 in your house and your cell phones. Ding, ding, ding. So our 21st century world is now going to become the Internet of Everything that puts us under the net of surveillance. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Tuesday. Tons live radio. Try to have an awesome day, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.